You're listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast, where we discuss current events, social issues, religious trends, and noteworthy news from a biblical perspective. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for tuning in to the newest episode of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. This episode is being released on November 2nd, 2023. And this week we're talking about what it would take to end poverty. Is that even possible? Many people, Christians and non-Christians, are concerned about the poor. And because of this, many resources are given to help those who are in need. Charitable organizations have been established to provide assistance for those who are less fortunate. You have many government programs that are funded supposedly for the purpose of ending poverty. Yet poverty still exists. Well, why is that? We're going to discuss that in our episode today. For links to some related materials, check out the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/110223. Now for our discussion this week. So the question we're asking, is it possible to end poverty? I recently saw an article that had that as the title, and as I saw it, I was scanning through links very quickly, and I passed it. I didn't save it. I didn't read it. But later, after I had already gone by it, I thought, well, that might be a good discussion. But by that point, I couldn't find the article. So I don't know what the author said, how he answered that question, what it was about. But the question, I think, is a good one for us to consider. Is it possible to end poverty? The simple answer is no. It's not possible to end poverty. Jesus said over in John 12 and verse 8, "For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Jesus said there that there will always be people who are poor, but why is that? Well, there are four reasons I believe that there will always be people who are poor. Reason number one is that you have some people who are simply lazy. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about this. And we won't cover everything in this episode. We wouldn't have time to do that. But I'll put a link in the show notes of a study I put together on the book of Proverbs, particularly the part of that study that has to do with work and what is said about work in the book of Proverbs. But one of the passages that is probably the most well-known, or one of the more well-known passages in the book of Proverbs on this, is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. That says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep?" There are several passages in the book of Proverbs that talk about the sluggard, the one who simply does not want to work. Laziness, what the sluggard is doing, how he is lazy, that leads to poverty. It's not the only reason people become poor. And I know some people automatically think that's what we're going to say, and so they get upset when we say that laziness leads to poverty. Not everyone who is poor is poor because of laziness. But it is a factor many times, and sometimes it is the primary factor why someone is poor. Again, there are other reasons, and we'll talk about those as we go on in this episode, but that is one of the reasons why people are poor, is because they don't want to work. They don't want to make an effort. They don't want to try to provide for themselves. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either." Unfortunately, there are many people in our society who do not want to work. They're not willing to work, as Paul said there. Instead, they insist on living off of others, taking advantage of the kindness that is offered to them or the programs that are available out there, while at the same time depriving those who are truly in need of aid that could have been used to help them, because there's only a limited amount of resources out there. So they are taking advantage of others and harming those who are truly in need, who might be willing but are unable to provide for themselves. So laziness is one reason why you have poverty. The second reason is that people make bad choices. Jesus talked about this in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. It says, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him." In that parable of the prodigal son, the younger son made a foolish decision to ask his father for his inheritance. And then once he received it, he squandered it and was left with nothing. Now, as you continue reading the parable that Jesus gave there, he described how that young man realized his mistake. He was penitent for what he had done, but that didn't take away his poverty. He still had to deal with that consequence. Ultimately, it led him back to his father and making things right with him. But the penitence and realizing that he had made a mistake did not take away his poverty. Even when we repent of sins that we commit, there are still consequences of those decisions. And even when it's not a sinful decision that we make, it could just be a bad investment or some purchase that we made that we shouldn't have made, or a series of those, and we end up leads us to poverty. Well, we might realize we should have been smarter with our money, we should have done something different, but that doesn't take away the consequence, doesn't change where we are in that moment. So this comes down to the principle of stewardship. And the book of Proverbs says a lot about this as well, and I'll link to another part of that Proverbs study that I mentioned before in the show notes, because there are a couple of sections in that study about stewardship. So I'll link to those in the show notes. But one of the verses in the book of Proverbs about this topic is Proverbs 13, verse 7. It says, "There is one who pretends to be rich, but has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, but has great wealth." There are a lot of people in our country, in our society, who pretend to be rich, pretend to have the ability to buy all these things that they have, but they don't have the money for it. So they borrow for it. They put it on credit cards, and they end up going under crippling debt. And Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave." They become impoverished because they wanted to live above their means, live as if they were rich when they really were not in that financial position. The third reason why people face poverty is because people face calamities. Remember what happened to Job, as one who was a righteous man, one who was very wealthy, but he lost everything. The book of Job begins with this description. "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And that man was the greatest of all the men of the East." So here we look at Job. We're not looking at someone who was lazy. We're not looking at someone who made bad decisions in his life. He was a righteous man. He was a wealthy man. But notice what happens in that account. In Job 1, beginning in verse 13, "Now on the day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans attacked and took them, and they also slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed 3 bands and made a raid on the camels and took them and slew the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another also came and said, Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they died, and I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, it is likely that none of us have or will experience anything like what Job faced there. And all of it was back to back. One servant was delivering this terrible news, and then another servant came in, and another, all at once he received all of this news where everything that he had was gone. He had 10 children, he had vast wealth, but all of that was gone. What was Job's response to this? It says, Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Job's poverty did not come because he was lazy. It did not come because he sinned or that he made bad choices. But he faced these circumstances that we would say it's unfair that he faced that. And something that nothing that he did led to this, but he faced those circumstances because calamities happen. Now, there was a bigger story going on there behind the scenes as far as the devil testing him and God allowing this to happen to show that God is with his people, even when they don't have the financial prosperity like Job had at the beginning. But what we see with the example of Job is that he suffered unfairly. People suffer unfairly today, maybe not to the degree that Job did, but people face calamities, and sometimes that leads to poverty, and it's through no fault of their own. And the fourth reason why you have poverty is that people face oppression. Sometimes oppression comes from those who are around us. And in this case, God has ordained civil authorities to punish the oppressors. Proverbs 20 and verse 26 says, "A wise king winnows the wicked and drives the threshing wheel over them." Civil authorities are there to punish those who do harm to others. However, the authorities don't always do this. And that could be due to incompetence or corruption or just the limits of what they're able to do. They can't be everywhere all at once. And sometimes crimes go unpunished and people are wronged and there is nothing to stop that. The authorities, they might want to be there, but they can't be there because they can't be everywhere. But other times, oppression comes from those who are in positions of civil authority. The wise man also talked about this in Proverbs 17, verse 26, where he said, "It is not good to fine the righteous, nor to strike the noble in their uprightness." So rather than punishing the wicked, he describes authorities as punishing those who are righteous. They take from those who are simply trying to be left alone and provide for their own, and they harass them, sometimes to the point of poverty. So these four factors, laziness, bad decisions, calamities, and oppression, these lead to poverty, and they will exist as long as the earth stands because we live in a world that has been corrupted by sin. That's why Jesus said, "The poor you have with you always," because these factors are always going to be there as long as this earth stands. So knowing that poverty will not be eliminated, what are we to do then? Number one, we need to work hard. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 7 through 9, "For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we did not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example." The verse we noticed earlier, in verse 10 of that chapter, it says that those who are not willing to work are not to eat. Before he said that, Paul offered himself as an example. He said that he worked night and day so as not to be in need. That's the example he wanted them to follow, and that's the example for us to follow as well. There may be times where we have to work night and day so that we are not in any need. Proverbs 16:26 says, "A worker's appetite works for him, for his hunger urges him on." By God's design, the way that He made us, our need for food motivates us to work. We're hungry, we need something to eat. That motivates us to go out and work to provide for ourselves so that we have that. We have to be willing to do that, as Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. So we have to work hard. Number two, we have to exercise good stewardship. The wise man said in Proverbs 27, beginning in verse 23, "Know well the condition of your flocks and pay attention to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will bring the price of a field. And there will be goat's milk enough for your food, for the food of your household, and sustenance for your maidens." Now, we've discussed this passage before, 2 or 3 months ago on the podcast, about what this passage teaches us about the providence of God. And I'll link to a clip in the show notes if you did not hear that discussion. It kind of summarizes what that is about. But the point of this passage is that when we exercise good stewardship, because of the way God has blessed us and the way He's made this world, when we exercise good stewardship, it helps guard against the trouble that comes during times of economic and political uncertainty, which we are certainly facing right now. So we need to exercise good stewardship. And then the third point is that we need to help others. Ephesians 4:28 says, "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need." It is not enough just to provide for ourselves and our family. We need to do that, but we need to do more than that. As we are able, we should be working to provide not only for ourselves, but also to help others. Galatians 6:10 says, "So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." That passage applies to each one of us as individuals. Do good to others as we have the opportunity. Now, that being said, keep in mind the passage that we noticed earlier in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, where Paul said that there are some who should not eat, those who are not willing to work. So when we think about helping those who are in need, we need to keep that in mind. If there are those who are not willing to work, it's not that they're not able to work, but they're not willing to work, we are not to enable their laziness. We need to allow them to face hunger in the hopes that that will do what God intended it to do and motivate them to work. But for those who are truly in need, we need to work so we can help them and be willing to do that as those opportunities arise. And then the fourth thing that we need to do is develop relationships with godly people. A few years ago, I wrote an article titled "Why the Righteous Do Not Beg," and I'll link to that in the show notes. But it was based upon a verse in Psalm 37, verse 25. "I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread." Now, that verse does not say that the righteous will never be poor. That's not what that verse says. Even someone who does what is right, who works hard, who exercises good stewardship, that person can still face poverty. But one of the reasons why that verse says that the righteous do not beg, why they have not been forsaken, why their descendants do not beg, the reason why that's true is because the righteous will associate with those who are righteous. They will associate with other righteous people, those who are seeking to do good to others, as we talked about in the last point, Galatians 6, verse 10, especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is one of the benefits that we have in the Lord's church. We have brethren who are willing to help us when we are in need, just as we are willing to help them as well. Luke described this in Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, where he said, "The congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. For there was not a needy person among them. For all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Is it possible to end poverty? No, it's not. We may sympathize with the poor. We may help the poor as we are able to do, and we should do that. But as Jesus said, you always have the poor with you. So we need to work hard. We need to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. And we need to help others as we have the opportunity to do that. So that's all for this week. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I hope you found this to be interesting, informative, and helpful. For links to some related materials, visit the show notes for this episode at plainbibleteaching.com/podcast/110223. If you have a moment to rate and review the podcast or share it with others who might be interested, that is always appreciated. And if you're listening to this, remember that we also upload video versions of the podcast to the Plain Bible Teaching YouTube channel. So if you prefer video, then that option is there for you. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please like this video and subscribe to the channel so you can see the other videos we post here from time to time. And if you see a news story or have some topic that you think would make for a good discussion here, send that to me at andy@plainbibleteaching.com. Thanks again for listening, and I hope to talk to you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others. Also, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter will be delivered to your inbox each Friday with articles, podcasts, videos, sermon outlines, and more. Visit plainbibleteaching.com to subscribe today.